Welcome to episode 10 of the One Was That a Dream podcast. As ever, my name's Lee Finch, and I'll be joined by Danny Baker. And our guest today is going to be Matthew Cooper, who's coming on to tell us about the greatest football story. First, we'll be discussing the injuries. Is it an injury crisis? Then, as I said, Matt's going to be talking about the greatest football story, telling us a little bit more information, letting us know how we can get involved. And then Danny, Alan Partridge, Baker will be giving us a little bit of trivia. So anyway, boys, how are we?
That is a big intro. He's a big hero of mine, Partridge. So I'm honoured that I'm in the same sentence as him. But I'm very well, thank you, Lee. Welcome, Matthew. How are you, mate? All right?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Not bad at all. Great intro, Lee. I love that. I mean, the whole 3-2-1 thing that you did.
Not bad for a second go, was it really?
No, that's great.
I mean, tell everyone that Lee didn't press record the first time round and this is the second go. We're not going to mention that.
No, we're not mentioning that.
Straight past it.
Yeah.
Is this a podcast crisis? We're not going to let it affect us.
No.
I could have just cut that bit out and then it'd just be smooth. But anyway, yeah, I forgot to press record and it was only 2 minutes in because lucky enough we didn't get 30 or 45 minutes in and then I noticed that I didn't record the episode.
That's always been my problem.
I did that, I think, with Andrew Harding. I had Andrew Harding on. I did press record, but it didn't record on the computer. And we did a full episode. And I had to get him back.
He was fuming.
He didn't care to be fair.
For an hour and then not having it recorded is absolutely fuming, isn't it?
Andrew Harding's got better things to do than spend an hour talking to me for not to go out. Do you know what I mean? He's got a golf course to be on. Anyway, how was your weekends without football?
Mine was all right, mate. Cut the grass, you know, just went and did a bit of shopping. I'm in an hour, but where to get my hair cut? Decided against it. I thought, shall I go out? And I thought, yeah, no, I'll just stay in. So watched a couple of films, watched a bit of the football. That was all right. Getting a bit weird about the whole Hungary stuff, though, with the racism again and like the fighting with the crowd. It's like, I mean, it's just a bit mad, isn't it? Like 25 years, we've been all this kick racism out of football. And it's like people are still doing it. It's like, geez, come on, guys, seriously, what are we doing? But other than that, pretty good.
Matt, how was your weekend?
Yeah, all right. Danny, I like the fact you just threw that in there. Yeah, it's all right.
Throw the bomb in there.
That's a whole different episode, that is.
Put a race bomb in there and let you crack on, lad.
Yeah. No, that's a nightmare. I mean, we obviously had people, their mates of mine were there. And it's just like, what is going on? That and the Euro final was just like it's crazy. It's like, what's happening at Wembley? It's all a bit mental, isn't it? So I quite enjoyed the Andorra game. I just love seeing all these like megastars in this small. I mean, it's smaller than King's Meadow, was it? 3,000 you could fit in that in the Andorra stadium. The population of Andorra would fit in Wembley. Crazy.
It always annoys me that they move the games. They usually move them to Barcelona or they play them out of their ground. I'd prefer them to play in the little grounds and then give the England fans who have been pretty much like one of our mates, Adam. He goes England home and away. He was out in Andorra for it. He actually went out there. He's loving it. A brand new stadium, little Andorra. He can tick that off his list now. Dan, well, going back to you.
What I don't get, did you say, wasn't the Andorra's pitch artificial? But then Sutton had to have grass. Like, what the hell was that about?
Yeah, but it's
mad, isn't it?
Andorra's is basic 3G as well. It ain't even 4G
How is that even a thing, though? How can Sutton have to play grass? That's bizarre.
Well, because English FA say you have to, which I actually agree that you should have grass. I don't think we should have 3G pitches.
Well, anywhere.
No, at kids' level and stuff like that. Community pitches.
Russia, when it's like 20 minus 25, you'd never get a season in, would you?
I'm talking about in England, mate. I'm not talking about in Russia. I'm talking about in England. Do you know what I mean? I don't want professional footballers playing on 3G pitches. I think it's ridiculous, to be fair. But going back to your point...
They're flammable, aren't they? That's the thing. That's what we found out. They catch fire.
Yeah. Did you not see it when it all set alight and nearly burnt the whole stadium then? Andorra nearly went up in smoke.
All three people would have been fuming.
Yeah. That's their community club. But going back to Hungary, and their point is, when will the FIFA, UEFA, whoever it is in charge, will actually come down? They did it against England, obviously, at the home game, right? But they got a two-game ban now, or they have to play behind closed doors for two matches, and that's it. Also, what really annoyed me is our police force. If if we had been in Slovakia or somewhere, I've been in Slovakia where all the police just come steaming into us and beat the living crap out of us. Yeah. We had batons and everything, and the Hungarians still beat the hell out of our police force. Where if we had been in a foreign country, I'm telling you, we wouldn't have been coming out of there without a good kicking. So have we allowed Hungary to then go and beat up our police force? That's what annoyed me.
It's a weird one. Like, what sanction could you put on a country or a group of or an FA to get even remotely close to stopping it? I've got no idea.
You chuck them out. You chuck them out of a major tournament.
Just done. Yeah. Just everything. See you later.
It's not just a. I watched the Rangers played in Prague against Sparta Prague.
That was the one with what's his name? Kamara, wasn't it?
Kamara was against Slavia Prague, where the actual Prague player racially abused him. But they played in Sparta Prague recently, a couple of weeks ago, and there was no fans allowed. But the Czech FA said that the FIFA said they could have schools go. So there was, I think, 5,000 tickets handed out to children. Every time Kamara got the ball, they booed him. But these were school children. Families, do you know what I mean? It ain't a football firm. It ain't like Hungarian football. And you look at the Hungarian game again back in Hungary. It was pretty much everyone in that stands were racially abusing some of the players. So now you just say you do it again. This ain't their first time either. It ain't their first offence.
No, definitely not.
You ain't going to the World Cup. You ain't going.
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking, first of all, I was thinking you dock points. So next time they go into, so they play behind closed doors and you dock points. But the truth is, it's been going on for so long now. It's like, and you know, the sanctions are so weak. They're so weak. It's not having any impact. It's like, you know, what's the point?
But you get sanctioned, you get fined more for having sponsorship on a pair of underpants. Yes. Than you do for racist abuse. Yeah. It is an absolute joke. And this is what, and you say about docking points, Matthew, is Hungarian teams like that they're not going to qualify, maybe. England, Poland, maybe Albania. But that you docking points, it's like they're still not going to qualify no matter what happens.
So
you
take this to League One, right? Realistically, what would you do a sanction for a club that had a repeat offender? Would you say can't get promotion, automatic relegation? What would be a good enough sanction, do you think, from a club level?
Perspective. I think
we've got that would stop it, though, wouldn't it? If you actually said to a club, do you know what? We will dock you, whatever it is, the administration. So, like Sheffield Wednesday, they got docked, or Derby docked 12 points. We will dock you 12 points if we find out that there's there's racism in your stands or whatever it is. Then you'll find clubs are going to pretty much come down on those fans.
The problem you've got, though, is a lot of it nowadays is more social media. We had the Joe Palmer 5-in-5 thing come out, and the statement that was put out that there's been some, I believe, racist abuse or homophobic abuse at Plough Lane now, at Plough Lane. But what do you punish the whole of Wimbledon for that? Because literally 99% of Wimbledon fans are good, honest Wimbledon fans. Do you know what I mean? I like to F and Jeff and stuff like that, but I'd never cross the line in regards to.
But you could say that's exactly that way. The same for the Hungary game away. I mean, that was one little block.
I wouldn't say it was a whole.
It's still not a majority of that stadium.
Then you ban them fans. They know what block it is. They've got good enough CCTV. Whoever's found is you get a lifetime ban. You get a lifetime ban from watching Hungary.
You do the same at Plough Lane, wouldn't you? You just go, it's them three, they're banned, and you let everyone carry on. But is that enough anymore?
Maybe in stages. Maybe it goes in stages. So maybe the first lot is you ban. The first thing is you have to ban these fans. But if you're like a repeat offender, I don't know how long that is, you know. I feel like we'd be thrown in here.
So this was a subject that we were going to talk, and then Danny just threw the bomb in.
Yeah, but it's like, no, I like it, Danny. But, you know, so maybe stages. Maybe you have this first stage where you ban fans. Then if it's a repeat thing, then you start to threaten about people playing behind closed doors. Then you talk about points deduction and that sort of thing.
Sorry, Doug, just quick. The thing about banning people, because I'm all for lifetime bans for racism, homophobic language, stuff like that. But then how do then we then make these people better human beings? I know some adults, you're never going to do it. But do you know what I mean? You have to have a time where you go, right, you've got a year ban, you come back, if you do it again, that's it. Do we do something like that? Is it that you do year ban, 5-year ban, that's it, lifetime ban. You've got your free bang, you're out. You're never coming back. Do you know what I mean? Again, a lot of it's on social media where people can hide behind fake profiles. You see them all the time on Twitter. There's people hiding behind Paul Pogba's face, or there's someone behind Wayne Rooney's face, or Rooney fan club number one. And it's a 40-year-old geezer like who's just a bit weird. But yeah, it's just madness to me, social media at the moment.
Right, well, last question then. Rant, Joe Bloggs, let's say 45-year-old bloke. We know, obviously, by the way, people do things when they're being emotional. It's not an excuse or a reason, but that's just what happens. Random 40-year-old bloke at the football, he's had a few beers. Guy from their team scores, a racist slur is said. You're Joe Palmer, what's the sanction?
He gets a ban straight away. If he gets flagged up.
How long for?
I'd say 5 years. If his first offence, it's got to be at least. Most people want to go football and they want to love their football. So they don't want to miss it for, do they? They don't want to never not go to football. It has to be a tough sanction.
You're saying five, Matt? What are you going for?
I'd say at least five. And Danny, the reason I'm saying that is, right, if a black player scores against Wimbledon, right, and it could be a controversial goal, he could score his hand and it doesn't get picked out or whatever it is, and I'm fuming. The first thing that's going into my head is not to call him a, you know, not to give him a name. That's not what I'm doing. So if your first response when a player scores a goal is to call it a racial slur, it's just like there's some, you know.
You shouldn't really be at the game, should you, really?
Yeah, exactly. So don't blame the drink. Don't blame the fact that someone scored a goal against you or whatever it is. You have a problem. You know, and I don't want that problem personally in our ground.
I get you took everything what I was going to say there, Matt, straight out. That's 100% the point. I think I've not gone to football and someone scored a last minute winner against us, giving it to me right in front of my face with cupping his ears and all that. And I thought, actually, I'm going to call him something that's to do with the color of his skin or to do with the sexual orientation of the man. Do you know what I mean? Or, you know what I mean? I've called him the C word. I'll drop a C bomb at him. I'll go mad. I've had a few drinks at football and my language can be absolutely terrible. But my fault ain't to racially abuse anyone at a football game. So
the challenge is, though, moving forward, and not to be too, I don't want to stir the boat too much. But is that good enough anymore? Is it okay for us to stand there and a random bloke and swear at a bloke for doing his job? Is that okay? I'm not saying, and I do it, don't get me wrong, I'll go UF this or whatever in the heat of the moment once again, but is that okay anymore? Are we in a society where we can't do that anymore? I don't know.
It's becoming a society like that, unfortunately. Like I say unfortunately, because I don't think bad language is the worst thing that if someone calls me a fucking bastard or something like that, for example. I could have used a worse word, but I don't really want to go down the lines. They don't bother me. It's water for duck's back. You can call me whatever you want. It's not going to hurt my feelings. But there are people out there that they can't handle stuff like that. And I kind of get it. But you go to a football game, which is high pressured. It's passionate. We can't take that out of the game.
I'm so with you, Lee. It's ridiculous.
You can't take swearing out of football. It's part of it. I mean, that's part, you know, there's a moment of release. And I think, you know, you can do that. You can F and blind whatever it is. You know, we're not banning us all shouting the referees up. Do you know what I mean? We're all going to go down.
I wonder how many of the conversations or the emails we've had about negative language or poor behaviour and stuff, whether that is, it's such a broad scale, isn't it? You could have someone calling somebody this. You could have someone being sexist, homophobic, racist. You know, I've personally watched Wimbledon for God knows how many years. I've never heard anyone say anything racist, ever, 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 ever. And I've been all over the country. And to be honest, even at a Wimbledon game, I haven't heard anything. That's why that statement, when it came out, threw me so much. I thought, it can't be that. It's got to be something like someone was using incredibly bad language at a referee or a decision that somebody in the crowd hasn't either been associated with football. Because if I took my wife and she saw, which is a good reason why I don't take my wife to football, she saw some of the behaviour of some of the adults, she'd be like, what on earth is going on? But maybe because we're used to that culture, maybe we think it's okay, but actually it's not. It's an interesting topic.
I was embarrassed when I saw that statement that came out. At first of all, I was very naive. I thought it was a complaint about other fans. So when I saw it was about us, I was really embarrassed. I was shocked. I just Because I've just not seen it. I've not encountered it so far.
But let's remember, this is a small percentage. This is a very, very small percentage. We've posted that video, and you spoke about it last week, Danny, about the three kids at the front of the stand when Lou McCormick scores. You know what I mean? I've got three kids. You've got kids, Matt. You've got one on the way, Danny. I'll take my boy on Saturday. If we score a last-minute winner, I'll look to him, and he's going absolutely mad. Loves it. And that's why we go football. It's all the stuff like that. You know, we all act like a bit of a tit sometimes, and it has that culture around it. But let's look how far football has come from the 70s, 80s, 90s to where we are now. It is improving. It is getting better. So it is a game for all. And football, anyone can go watch football, no matter where you're from, what your background is. And that's what I think Wimbledon
totally
at the moment.
Any dance player down there who's got little ones or have got concerns, come to the pub, chat to fans, get involved. We are a club for all, 100%.
I mean, I've taken my daughter along for the first time. She's just not been interested in football at all. So I took her to the Oxford game, which was, you know.
That was a brilliant game.
And she loved it. She loved it. So, you know, I'll be taking her along to the next game when she hasn't got a birthday on or a holiday or something.
Swimming party, yeah.
Right, boys, let's talk about, because Danny threw that in and, yeah, it was good.
There was no football this week, Lee. There was no football. We had to get something out there.
We had to get some content out there. We'd lose our five listeners. But anyway, let's talk about injuries at the moment. And obviously, Will Nightingale is out for, 4 to 6 months, I believe. George Marsh, I've heard rumours that he's out for four weeks now as well.
Well,
that's not being reported on the club at the moment, but that's a rumour going around. Who else we got? Ollie Palmer's still out, and we have got no idea at the moment of when he's back. Are we in an injury crisis? Is this a bit of a crisis for Wimbledon, or is it we've got enough strength in depth?
Matt can go first.
It's an injury crisis for certain teams. You know, like at City, you can have three or four people out, and it wouldn't be a problem. For us, this is tricky. There was something I was reading on the 72 saying who some of our best performers are, and you know, in the top five, you had Nightingale and Palmer. So we're already missing a couple of our key players, and I think Palmer's been a massive miss, to be honest with you. I'm not so tempted in terms of scoring goals, but you know, hold up play, he's obviously drawing people to him or whatever. So, and Will's been scoring goals for fun recently, hasn't he? So it's difficult. I think it's difficult to be without our best players. You know, when we miss, when Asell was out, we clearly missed him and Rudy's out. So we haven't got the luxury. We haven't got the luxury of missing some of our better players. I don't want to go down the word crisis, but yeah.
I don't think it's a crisis, but I think what Matt's alluded to, which I completely agree with, is that for most clubs, missing three players isn't a crisis. But for us, I think we're getting close to it. Because of the general players, but also if you look at each position now, we haven't got genuinely another genuine one of those two. It's now Hartigan and Woodyard. We could obviously play somebody else, maybe Iwadoni, but in general, the way that we've played, it's been Woodyard, Hartigan, or Marsh. So yeah, we haven't got one of those guys. At centre back now, we have got Hennigan and PK. If he's fit, if not, we are genuinely struggling. And up front, we only have two what I would call genuine forwards. So I think, but as I said a couple of weeks ago, maybe. Although we as fans obviously didn't agree with it, we bought into this. We know we are not going to have huge numbers in the squad. And Robbo made it clear that he was keen not to have a big, big squad. But we are very, very, we're very hopeful that we don't have lots of injuries. And coming up to the Christmas manic bit, as we know it comes up, I would be amazed if already we're thinking we were probably at least one player light in the squad.
The thing that annoys me is that we wanted to get to Burton and then we had 2 weeks off kind of thing to then rest our players that needed to be rested to get them back fully firing. And now we're in a worse position with two players out injured for a month, 4 months. No sign of Ollie Palmer coming back. So does that mean he's broken down or is he still good to go? Again, that's on the comms of the club. But yeah, the one thing I don't think we could have dealt with this season with our the squad numbers, as you said, Danny, is injuries. we are struggling with injury, and we've got a lot of players out on loan, which is great for their development and stuff, but it is leaving us quite light. I do struggle with the centre-backs at the moment, with Will being missing, because Paul K is he's okay. I don't think he sets the world alight.
It's PK, not okay, yeah?
Yeah, I'm saying okay, not PK, right? But with him just coming back from injury, being chucked in against Sheffield Wednesday, Lincoln and Wigan, is three very tough games straight away. And from my honest opinion, this is just my opinion, and most people might agree with me or not, Dan Soccer is nowhere near the level that we need him to be at, to be coming in and playing regularly. And at the back at the moment, we start with Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday. You look at their front four players that they could pick. It was going to be a tough ask with Will and Hennigan playing. But if we lose, say, one more player, say a Hennigan or a Presley, we're in big trouble. Yeah, yeah.
My question, I wonder, do you chuck in Darius? Does Darius step up? Or is he nowhere near fit? I mean,
I forgot about Darius, to be fair. I keep forgetting about his hair. Is he there as a mentor?
No,
or is
idea. But I mean, literally, I've been to games and he's not even been on the... I've barely seen him on the bench. So I've got no idea if he's either fit enough or is interested enough. But this is where we'll find out. We'll be finding out now whether or not he has come in as basically almost just the glorified coach who's going to be around the changing room, or whether he is genuinely going to be a person. If we're in the shtuck, he's going to play. We're going to find out now.
Because the thing about the injuries at the moment as well is that, say, Henry Lawrence can play, he can go left back, right back. He can also play midfield. But one of my mates mentioned the other day, you don't really want to be changing it around all the time and putting players in different positions. So then, do you know what I mean? We're changing it around pretty much every game, and it's a struggle to then get some momentum and get going. As I said, we've got three of our toughest games coming up, and injuries, and we just don't want them at the moment. And unfortunately, they're coming in droves. And I'd love to know how far away Ollie Palmer is from being fit.
Yeah.
Because the two strikers you're talking about, Danny, I'm guessing you're talking about Presley and Mboudi.
Well, in general, as a club, we've only got Palmer and Presley. I don't class Mboudi as a centre forward. I class him as a winger coming in. I know he can fluctuate, but for me, this is the concern that we've had when we went for the we'll get a couple of guys and we'll chuck them out on loan. I think Arnie used to talk about having money on the pitch. All of our wages should be on the pitch, not in the stands. And Nightingale, as much as I like Nightingale, we all know he's injury prone, and he's gonna break down at some point. Palmer, we didn't get a lot out of him last year, and we mentioned, I think it was right at the beginning of the season, this is where the likes of Pigot, who never broke down. Like, the lad played constantly. It's just we're now coming up. We're gonna have three games in a week. A lot of travelling against three good sides. This is where it's going to get tough, and we're desperate.
We're not travelling a lot, Dan.
Well, no, we've got playing Sheffield Wednesday up to Lincoln back. That's a lot of travel, not a lot of recovery. I think that's a decent amount of travel. And three games in a week.
I wouldn't say it was a lot of travelling. It's three games in a week, which is. But I wouldn't say it's a lot of travelling. These are professional footballers; they should be used to that. Isn't it? It's not like they're going to Sunderland and then they've got Lincoln away the week after. I just think we keep getting told there's no money in the pot at all, but do we make funds available to bring in, say, a pay-by-play at the moment, give a player a 2 or 3 month contract who's out of contract at the moment? There's a lot of players who are out of contract, but will they be fit enough to come in and play straight away? Do we lose these three games, saying, well, hopefully we don't, then do we go, when do we hit panic mode and go, right, we need bodies. We have got no bodies at the moment.
You see, I'm interested about the... those guys on loan, you know, was it Corey Andrews and I can't remember his name.
Cosgrove.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I completely get where Robbo's coming from about development. You know, that is, you know, it's great. You want players out there and they're scoring goals for fun and whatever, but I just can't help but feel there needs to be a point where you just go, we need some backup here. And yeah, these guys might sit on the bench for half a season, but we need something, you know. Because why bring someone else in? Why bring another striker in? If you've got people out there, and unless you don't trust them, unless you're saying they are definitely a 6 months, a year away from the first side, let's leave them out. Then we've got to bring someone in, and yeah, we've got to get these resources in, and that might mean, you know, we'll hear the rumour that, you know, we're going to let someone go in Jan. And then you use, and then hopefully use that money to bring someone in.
That's fine, but we're, I mean, as an example, I was reading about someone like, was it Biamu, who was at Sutton. He was a Coventry last year. Nowhere near anything. All of a sudden, he's turned up. I think it's Dundee United he's just gone to. O'Neill, Wagstaff's just signed for Aldershot. You can't tell me that some of these guys wouldn't be tempted for a couple of months on a relatively shortish, relatively cheapish amount of money just to go, you've got 2 months, earn a contract. We're a player short. Come along, train at home. Where do you live? Right, come and play at Wimbledon. Have a look and see and offer and be cheeky and go, look, we can actually offer you two months work here. Come and get a contract. Come and earn a contract. I'm a bit, if we're that skint, because we haven't got a penny, that is a real concern. And one more injury in a key position. If Presley goes down Saturday, we've got no forward. And if we've got Hennigan goes, we've got no centre-backs. And if we lose one of the other centre midfield, it's just we are woefully small as a squad because we know that we are a smallish club, which we're going to use a lot of the youngsters. But we are where it is tight. It's very tight.
See, Matt, regards your point, I actually think the players being out on loan is smart with what Robbo's doing. They are young players. I don't think he does trust them at the moment. If they were with us at the moment, they literally would just sit on our bench. They wouldn't be playing. And then at the moment, they're out there, they're scoring goals. They're going, right, next year, I'm going to be part of this first team and I'm coming in to take your place, Palmer. I'm going to come in and take your place. And Mbudi won't be here. Presley won't be here. So we need them, Corey Andrews and Cosgrove, to come in. And they're scoring some decent goals as well. I think Cosgrove's loan's a strange one for me because he's at a really struggling Dover team. But he's scoring goals for him, so it might be worth. But I agree with you, Danny, with regards to getting a player in now. We need to get a player in. But if I don't think we have that money to go. We can get you in for two. What player is going to come in and go? Yeah, I'll play for 2 months and then be out of contract again. Or he comes in for 2 months and gets injured, and then he might not be able to play again for another season. And then
I guess the reverse of that is you get someone in for 2 months. He does phenomenally well. You know, we could offer him a contract and he might say no to it because he's got other offers. But at least he's in a shop window.
And at least he's got work.
Yeah.
O'Neill's gonna, you can't tell me O'Neill, you can't tell me Luke O'Neill at the start of the window when we released him, he's gone, I can't wait to sign for Kettering in October. You must be joking. He was looking at playing in our leagues or not. There are lots of people out there who could do with Scott Wagstaff only now, literally this week, signed for Aldershot on a permanent. He would have definitely been eyeing up something.
For me, the best example of that is Tyrrell Thomas.
Yeah.
He'd leave us and go, crew, that's where I want to end up.
Yeah, he did not want to. But, and that's the funniest thing again about Piggott. You say he never missed a game for us. He's playing week in, week out. Yeah, he's not doing that now, is he?
Can't get a game. He can't get a game.
Because they've got a lone striker from QPR who's smashing it. And they're talking about recalling him and they're dreading that. But anyway, boys, we better wrap that up. And when we come back, we'll be speaking to Matthew about the greatest football story.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
And we're back, and we're going to be discussing with Matt now the greatest football story. Matt's going to tell us a little bit more information about it, what it is, how we can get involved, and we might pick our own, which we would want, as we would pick as the greatest AFC Wimbledon FC story that we've had. So, go on, Matt, take it away.
Yeah, I think the basic thing is, you know, you go into the main stand, the West Concourse, right, and you've just got blank walls. And I just thought we wanted to fill them with something. Let's celebrate our history. And I think what's interesting is over the last 20 years or so, you know, we've been at King's Meadow, we haven't had a space. So I think a lot of people forget, you know, our combined history. You know, the history of Wimbledon FC, you know, through we've had some amazing times in the 50s and 60s. You know, and if you're a Liverpool fan or, you know, other fans, your heart, you still remember, you still talk about those sort of moments, even though you weren't born. I mean, I can't remember what I think we got to an amateur cup final back in the early 60s or the 50s that we didn't win. And I'm pissed off about it. which is crazy, you know. So, but I just want to celebrate. I just want to celebrate our history and just get people to realise that we've, you know, we started in 1889. It's been an amazing history where we, you know, got into the league in the first place in the 70s. Went on, won the FA Cup, and some of our fans might not even realise that we won the FA Cup. We beat like the side of the decade, you know, in that incredible game. And then we were in the Premier League for years. We were there to start with, and you know, so and then obviously what happened with the whole, you know, going up the being forced up the M1 and us starting again was just the most reforming. And that's just an amazing story. And then look what we've got. It's brilliant. We've got all this amazing history. So I just want to put it up on the wall, celebrate our combined history, because our history, not combined. It's at the same club in my eyes.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to do. Fill those walls with imagery.
So it's £12,000 you're trying to raise. Excuse me, trying to raise at the moment. Is that correct, Matt? It's £12,000.
Yeah. Well, yes. It is twelve. I'm looking at 12K. But to be honest with you, you know what we get, we can make something. We'll make something work.
And we're trying to. Is it going to fill the whole walls? It's going to fill all the walls.
My aim is to fill as much as possible. Although, you know, every time we go along, there's adverts or whatever put on my walls. I'm like, stop putting stuff on my walls. So
yeah, I agree.
I'm trying to fill up as much as possible. Certainly, where you go in that main concourse area, where you come in up the stairs, that is going to have a. You know, you're just going to see a colour and you'll see bits of our history straight as way as you go into it.
So do you have any idea of, is it going to be voted by the fans of what we want as the main picture? And it's going to be our actual images, isn't it? It's going to be a picture of me used in it to then construct this big, massive mural.
Yeah, so let me explain what we're looking to do there. So if you donate, and depending on the level you donate, you'll be able to submit a photo of yourself. And that photo will be part of a photo mosaic. Now, a photo mosaic is like you have one large image, so it could be best holding the FA Cup. But if you look closer, you'll see it's loads of different, made up of loads of different photographs. So we'll all be part of it. I love that as a fans club, you know, all the whatever image we choose at the end of it will be part of it, you know. So the fans are part of that mosaic. So you'll be part of the photo mosaic. We're also hoping that the photos will be as part of a timeline as well. So we're looking at a yellow and blue timeline along the wall. So the photos will be used twice, is my hope.
To be clear, you're doing one big mosaic with all of little pictures in it.
Yep.
And is there a timeline as well?
Yep.
Or is
yep.
it just
yep.
one big, like, big thing?
It's going to be, we're looking at having lots of different things if we can. So there'll be one image, one big image, which will be made up of lots of photos. There'll also be a timeline where you'll, you know, like you can see, yeah, and there'll be text around it as well explaining what's been going on. So you'll have a timeline with text explaining things and imagery that goes with that, and then you'll also have a large photo mosaic as well.
And what's the minimum, like, people? What's the minimum amount people can donate into?
A tenner. All it needs is a tenner, and you can upload one image. 50 quid, you can upload 9 images.
Sounds good.
And do you want these images at those particular events? Or so do you want, sorry, the image, you want the fan at that event? Or is it
just no.
And I love Dino scoring against Ipswich, I'm going to upload that.
If you wanted to, but it's basically your photograph. So it's your image. Like for me, for instance, I will upload pictures of me through my time supporting the Dons. So there was a picture of, I was a programme seller. So there was a picture of me in my old denim back in the 80s. I'm going to upload that and pictures of me through the time. So it will also it'll be my timeline as part of the timeline. Yeah, that's personally what I want to do. But for another fan, you might just go, well, I will upload one image and it's a picture of me at Wembley when we beat Plymouth, you know, or at Manchester Stadium. I want to have that image. So you can choose whatever you like. And also the other thing about it is that, you know, there's a lot of people that have passed on. It's been a really difficult time.
Yeah.
So this is a way you can put their images into that as well. So you can, you know, so we can have people like Salah, for instance.
Yeah.
We could have, and pictures of fans have just gone. So we can have all those in there as well. Which
What's
is
the deadline, Matthew?
I'm looking to get this done by the 31st of October.
Oh, wow.
That's my, and we're, you know, so we've started going now. There are some videos that are going up online, and we're doing some flyering and posters this weekend at Sheffield Wednesday. So people are going to know more about it.
Yeah, because this stuff you just said there regarding videos, there's a thing on YouTube at the moment, you know, with different episodes of the team all involved, the management team are getting involved in trying to push and sell it, because it is a brilliant idea, to be fair. I think we had Andrew Harding on previously, and he kind of mentioned it as well. It'd be beautiful to do something like that. And then don't know if you nicked his idea, Matthew, or you already had it in the pipeline, but yeah. It sounds brilliant. Going back to what would you pick? What would you be your greatest? What would you pick if you could? If there was going to only be one image at Plough Lane, and it was you picking it, you had the choice. What are you picking as the achievement or the picture that you'd want up? I know what mine would be.
Go on in, far away.
Danny Kedwell scoring the penalty just as he bangs it in, kind of thing. I know there's loads. You can go back to when we won the Amateur Cup, the FA Cup. But for me, getting from the AFC Wimbledon story being promoted to the Football League, and it was Danny Kedwell who scored the goal at Manchester, that was
just... So you weren't... So just to be clear, though, Lee, that means that you wouldn't be in the picture on the wall. It'll just be you. You've kind of uploaded the Kedwell penalty as your thing. Is that right?
No, I'm uploading a picture of just my mug now, right? My face.
Oh, you're talking about the big collage, is that right?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Not my picture. Right. I'm not saying what picture would you want to upload, like a picture of
that's
you
what
now.
I thought you meant. I was like...
Just cutting the grass or something. No, I'm saying the big mosaic. What would you...
Mosaic? Who's he play for?
he started up front for Wednesday.
He's joining us, yeah.
But as the mosaic, which... I prefer mural, to be fair, because it's easier to say.
Mate, I'm just loving you saying mosaic. It's been fantastic.
Right. What would you want? What would you pick? And this is we're going to ask our listeners as well, so all five of them can pick what they would want. What would you pick as the main one on the wall at Plough Lane? Mine would be Danny Kedwell scoring that penalty made up of thousands of Wimbledon fans.
That is... I think I'd either want something from the first game, like the Sutton queue on the way out with all the Wimbledon fans and a variety of different things, just to kind of show where we've been. A picture of Plough Lane on the first day when all the fans came back, because it's the significance of it, Lee. It's the significance of the 30-year wait from having nothing to being in a packed Plough Lane. We've all wanted it for so long. That is massive.
Sorry, I get it, because you didn't talk over me when I was saying mine, which is a fair point, but I was shaking my head then, and that's why you said it.
Correct.
But why would I want a mosaic of Plough Lane in Plough Lane? It just doesn't make sense to me, mate.
I don't think that's the most iconic thing that's happened in football in the last 30 years. We're booted out.
We don't need a mosaic. We won't need a mosaic for that. We've got the ground. That's there. We can see that every time we go to our home game.
We can see Kedwell scoring a penalty anytime you like. Go on YouTube.
No, but on a mosaic on the wall of Plough Lane.
On a what wall?
On the mosaic. Right. Anyway.
This is the conversation I want. Well, that and people's money. But it's... it's best in making the save, putting off the save. I think that's a great picture. I love the Danny Kedwell one. I like the idea of Joe Shearer leading the side out against Sutton. You know, that would be a good picture as well. But there's loads. I mean, like, you know, Binny and Gazza. What about that?
I guess it's what's important. Is it the football achievement, i.e. us getting back into the Football League? Is it the fact that we went against the odds and restarted? What is the most defining point of our story? I guess that's what would be the most attractive picture.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting because history moves. So at this moment in time, when we're discussing this, we're talking about Kedwell or Besant or Sutton, you know, or the trials, having a picture of people at the trials. That's all that is incredible. But, you know, in a few years' time, I'd love to be able to do it again and say, well, that's the most iconic moment was when against the odds we won the FA Cup again or got into the Premier League or whatever, you know? That's the amazing thing about our history.
I was going to say the next step would be a statue, wouldn't it, of someone outside the ground as we come into, you know, where the club shop is and stuff like that. Who would have a statue outside the ground if we could do that? Who would be the statue for you? Who is it? Because we could save money and do it either statue, which would save a lot of money there with a little statue.
We laugh, but it won't be far off. He won't be far off in the running. He's done a lot.
Wouldn't need a big one. Just a little statue.
Did you see that Tyson statue that's come out today?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
It's the size of the top of a matchstick. I mean, we could probably run to that.
Yeah, that's really. I thought, who would you have as a statue outside the ground? Neil Audley? Terry Brown?
I'm a big Vinny man.
Vinny?
Yeah, love Vinny Jones. But I think if it was the new era, I think Ivor would be right up there for me. I think he'd be quite a close one. And I think I'd be quite a reflection of where we are as a club. That
him doing the old two fingers?
Possibly, why not? But it's not, it won't be necessarily just about what goes on the pitch, but our journey is so much more off the pitch. And I think that might be quite a unique one for us. I don't think there's many other clubs who've got statues of owners outside. Maybe Wolves, do they have one of them? Haywood or Walker, maybe at
Blackburn? Yeah, I was going to say Blackburn, maybe.
But I reckon that might be an interesting one.
Because we've only got one stand named after a player, haven't we? We've only ever named a stand after one player.
Who's that?
We've got the main stand.
That's been 6 weeks in build-up. Nice. Look at him, he's
smug as you like. You missed 1 week without football, and this is what happens. Yeah,
but yeah. Anyway, let's go back to the point. So yeah, so
John Smith could have been at the trial, couldn't we? We'll never know.
Yeah, that's very true. £10. We'll link it to our Twitter page after we send this out. This goes out on Friday. Today it is Friday, but yeah, we'll put it on a Twitter page, and yeah, people can go on there, £10, put their photo in, and hopefully we can get a good mosaic, and it would be it'd be a beautiful thing, to be fair, to fill up that whole wall at Plough Lane, and maybe more.
Thanks for doing it, Matthew. It sounds like it's a great initiative, it's a great idea, and it's great that the fans are doing it. Another example of why, although people have got their different views, why having a fan zone club is so wicked, that we can get this project up from zero to getting it up in the wall as quick as you're talking about. I think it's fantastic. So thanks ever so much for all the hard work that you're putting into it. We really appreciate it.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure. I mean, it's like all of us, Wimbledon's in my blood. I just want to make this, I really want to make this happen, you know, and I think we could have, there's possibilities of trying to get external funding. We could have got funding from one person and just, I don't know if we could have done that, but just the idea that everyone's contributing, it makes it more powerful to me.
People put £10 in, they get their own photo in, and it's theirs. I know some people were moaning because people have put money for the Cedars, they put money for bar taps, they put money, and it's always people go, oh, we keep asking.
I know.
But this is something different. This is something special that the fans are doing. It's not the club asking. It's someone that a fan has done to make it happen, to make our ground feel more homely, I think, as well. Because at the moment, it's beautiful and it's brilliant, but we need more to recognise our history as well. So when people are going there, they go, actually, oh, do you remember that when Danny Kebble scored that? In 20 years' time, when we go, Danny Kebble scored that penalty May Road, City of Manchester Stadium, or do you know what I mean? When Hennigan scores the goal to get us in the Championship or something like that, it'd be like, well, that's just, yeah, do you remember them days?
And one of the things we want to do is we want to dot some QR codes around amongst it. So when you scan your phone, you'll get taken. You can get taken to that clip of Kedwell scoring that goal or Besson doing that save or whatever it is. So we want to make it slightly interactive.
Maybe. You know,
as well. So it's going to be, if we can make it happen, it's going to be.
We made so much happen. You'll make it happen. Don't worry.
It's beautiful. As I said, the museum, the ground's now open as well, isn't it? The museum. So if you haven't been, go there. It's not, I think it's £10 for an adult, £3 for a child. Go and have a look at Wimbledon's history. If you're not 100% on it, then yeah.
Has anyone been on a stadium tour, by the way?
I've not yet, no.
They've only started that going.
Just curious if anyone's been on it.
To be fair, I do it every Saturday, Dan. I go from the Phoenix pub round to my East End seat. That's pretty much the stadium tour, isn't it?
best tour possible, I think.
But you go into the seats this time. Right, we'll wrap it up there, boys. And yeah, Matt, thanks very much for all the hard work regarding that. And
cheers,
we'll,
guys.
We'll upload that onto our Twitter page and our Facebook page, and we'll get that message out. When we come back, Danny's got a little trivia quiz for us.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
Right, we're back for the final part of this week's episode. Danny has some trivia, or he has one question. It's not an honest question, is it, Danny?
No, I've got a trivia question. Two. One is like the warm-up act, and I don't know the answer to this, so I'm curious what you guys think, and we'll see if we get it right as a group. I generally just don't know the answer. Lee, you shouldn't interrupt. If you're going to interrupt, please put your hand up during the quiz.
I just want to say, we're not allowed to use Google or anything, are we?
No, absolutely not. So the first question is a warm-up. Obviously, we played at King's Meadow and we've had Plough Lane. I'm interested is which ground have we played at most outside of an away ground? And I don't know the answer. So I'm just chucking it out there. I was guessing maybe Crawley. But what do you think?
I don't get the question.
Well, we play at Plough Lane right now. And we played at King's Meadow. Yeah. Which away ground have we played at the most?
As AFC Wimbledon.
Oh, I was, do you know what? I was really pleased with myself because when you were saying it, I thought Wimbledon, and I was going to say Sellers Park.
Yeah.
You know, but
no, it's got to be in the AFC Wimbledon era. So, as a couple of starters, I thought Crawley because we had them sort of Conference C, League One. Plymouth, thought might be in around it. We seem to have always played Oxford. I feel like we've played them our whole life. So,
problem I've got with this question is there's no answer because you don't know the answer, do you?
Well, I will find out the answer. But it's what the idea is, Lee, as a bit of fun with the lads, we're going to come up what we think our answer is.
Right.
Say what our answer is, and then we will research, or someone will tell
us. You are. I'll do this, mate. Your question.
Crawley's a shame. For my opening gambits to you, is there anyone we've played more than Crawley or Plymouth?
Hampton and Richmond, we play quite a lot.
Crawley's a really good shout. We started to really get some rivalry there, didn't we?
We played him in a couple of times as well, Crawley.
Bromley. I was going to say Bromley because not only Bromley,
Cray.
Cray there as well.
Cray Wanderers played there as well.
And wasn't there a team that we played, and this is where it gets controversial, didn't Cray share with Bromley?
That's what we just said.
Yeah.
That's why it's Bromley and Cray, mate.
Just trying to start you out.
What are you doing to me?
Bromley Football Club's up there.
Yeah.
I think Crawley's got to be close, you know.
No, I'd say Bromley were, because we proper played that. Like Crawley ended up in the league before us, I think, and we had a couple of seasons.
They came up the same year as us because we had to play them in that rubbish playoff because Man United didn't enter the League Cup. Do you remember?
The FA Cup playoff. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had to play the League Cup playoff and we lost to Crawley.
What league have we been in the longest? Because we were only in the CCL for 3 years. So it's this one.
Yeah.
Plymouth and Oxford could be a shout because they were in conference as well for a long time.
I reckon we had a good couple of years with Crawley and it took us, how many years to go up from League 2, 3?
I don't know, but...
First year we were okay. Second year we nearly got relegated. Third year we were okay. Maybe fourth year we went up. So that's 6 years.
I'd say Oxford's got to be another one because we were in the conference with them before they went League 2 and then we went at League 2, League 1 with them.
So what would be your answer, chaps?
Bromley?
Matt?
I'm going Oxford.
I'll take Crawley then.
I'm going Bromley's ground because it's Bromley and Cray Wanderers.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're entitled to that, Lee.
I'm trying to think of any other non-league teams. I was going to say Wilsdon, but they weren't in it long for us. No, I think that's it. Okay. I'm going Bromley. Bromley, Cray Wanderers.
Bromley and Cray. You're going to go Bromley. We've got Bromley, Oxford and Crawley. I will eventually at some point, if I can be bothered this weekend, do the prep. Right, the other one was a challenge for the pair of you. And the viewers can pause after I say the question so they've got a bit of time to do some scribbling, if you like. We'll do like a 5-second pause. There has been a number of players in AFC Wimbledon's history that have shared the same surname. So, example, Lyle Taylor, Jamie Taylor, and Lewis Taylor, as an example. My challenge to you is, can you guess how many surnames we've had more than one player at? And if they are Football League players, i.e. Lewis Taylor and Lyle Taylor, it's double points. So the Lewis challenge Taylor. Is Lewis Taylor, the blonde lad. He scored
didn't
against
play
Millwall,
Football
didn't
League,
he?
Did he?
He played, didn't he score for, against Millwall in the League Cup?
Yeah, it was League Cup.
League Cup?
No, it was the FA Cup, wasn't it?
Was it FA Cup?
Yeah, it was FA Cup. We weren't okay. League then.
Well, in that case, if I'm wrong, Lewis Taylor will then, and Jamie Taylor obviously were non-league. That's 1 point. Lyle Taylor and Jamie Taylor, it's only 1 point. You get Football League, you get double points.
So, do you know the actual answers to this one, though? This
I've
time?
Got loads of answers written down. Some I checked Wikipedia, and there were actually some that weren't even there, which I
Sullivan, Matt Sullivan.
Whoa, we haven't even paused for the fans. I mean,
sorry.
So we're gonna, if you want to pause, by all means, pause now while Lee's ruined it with Sullivan. I've ruined it for Taylor. So we're going to, if you want to pause now, crack on. Okay, great. Right. So you've got John and Neil Sullivan.
Andy Sullivan. Andy Sullivan.
But you've got John and Neil, where Sullivan was a Football League surname chair. That's worth 2 points to you.
Yeah. And then Andy Sullivan, that's an extra point then.
Yeah. But it's for the surname. If it's a Football League pair, or a non-league pass. Oh, only one per surname, Lee.
Right. Matt, what you got? What else you got?
Oh, I tell you what, I'm rubbish at this. Genuinely, I can't even name the squad from last week. So there's got to be a web, surely. Is there a web somewhere? Is there two webs?
No webs.
Yeah, we've got two. We had two Adebayos, but not two Akinfenwas. Yes, because Aziz's full name is Adebayo Aziz.
It's got to be the surname, Lee. Come on, let's not muck about. Right. So, just to give you an example, there is one player in the current squad
who is
worth 2 points. One player in the current squad. Who is it?
Who's in our current squad at the moment?
Can we have Joe Palmer and Ollie Palmer? Does that...
I'm going to give you a half just for the sheer cheek of it.
Who's our right back currently?
That's it. Go on. Right backs. Who are they?
Lawrence.
No. Yeah. Henry Lawrence. Alexander.
Alexander. Shay Alexander. And
the other Alexander.
Right. Which his first name is?
Mate, what are you doing?
Gary Alexander.
Yes. Oh, yes. Gary Alexander. That's Gary it. Alexander.
That's worth 2 points. Well, yeah. But not guessing it right.
Yeah, but they're both Football League as well. Yeah, so.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you got 2 points.
If I'm seeing the light on Lee's face, does that mean he's...
He's absolutely cheating. Yeah, Lee is completely cheating, like you wouldn't believe.
I'm not cheating. Robinson.
You've got Zach Robinson and...
Paul Robinson.
Correct.
I haven't cheated there either. That's I just
Of course you haven't. Of course you haven't.
I haven't, seriously.
Of course you haven't.
I haven't.
How many other football leaguers have you got? Guy who was in the squad not last year, the year before.
I've got another one.
Go on in.
Cooper?
Which Coopers?
Kevin's.
Kevin Cooper played for AFC Wimbledon. The other Kevin Cooper didn't.
He played for Wimbledon?
No, but it's AFC Wimbledon, Lee. We've said this.
Part
of the quiz.
Oh, I thought it was Wimbledon players and AFC Wimbledon players.
I tell you what, you are the weakest link goodbye at the minute.
No, I think you're fine. I am. I can't remember.
Should I give you some more tricky ones to fill up
I'm
the content because you two are dreadful?
I'm going to get them.
You could have had Richard and Steve Butler for
one. The Butlers.
You could have had Peter Sweeney and Ryan Sweeney. Football League.
Yeah.
I was literally about to say them.
There you were. That's a complete lie.
I was just literally, you took the words right out of my mouth.
You could have had Michael Smith and Connor Smith.
I just about to see.
Oh, you're cheating. I can see you're cheating.
I was just about to say it, Smith.
For the benefit of the tape, Lee Finch is officially cheating at the quiz.
Oh, no, I don't cheat.
Connor Smith?
Yeah, he played in the playoff final for us. Smith.
Connor Smith, yeah, the midfielder who was at, from Watford.
It was awful, yeah.
There's a couple of random ones. Who's Wimbledon's most hated goalie? Who do we hate?
John Sullivan.
No, not John Sullivan. He was on loan from us.
Oh, I know. He's dreadful.
Cardiff.
Right, Dick.
Oh, yeah, I know the one.
Him. He's now at...
What's his name? How's he still a professional footballer? It's beyond me. But
hey, he's at Coventry.
What's his name? And then what? He's at Coventry and they're like second in the championship.
Ben Wilson.
Wilson.
And Glenn Wilson. You could have had Max Porter. George Porter.
Yes, George Porter.
I thought he was a very good player, George Porter, by the way.
I just said that as well. I'm literally, you're right saying.
You could have had, two of them probably played the very first Football League game we ever had. Sammy and Luke Moore.
Moore's.
I literally just said Moore.
No, he's just making it up as he goes along, isn't it? Absolute cheat. You could have had Reece Jones and Darren Jones. No idea. I don't remember them.
I remember Darren Jones. He's the one he went up going, he was the Welsh geezer. Who's the other one? Alan Jones?
No, not Alan Jones. Darren Reece Jones, I've got here.
I have no idea who Reece Jones is.
The guy we had on loan last year, right back. Who was it? Anyone remember? We would have signed him in the summer, but he went to Fleetwood.
Seddon?
No, he's left back, right back. Got injured at the end of last year. Quality, though. We would have had him, definitely.
Oh.
We had Darnell Johnson.
Yes.
Brett Johnson.
Yes.
That's worth a point or 2 points. There's a couple of Harrisons, Byron Harrison and Ben, the young left back we had once. Who was quite talented.
Yeah, I've got David,
one. I know you're cheating because you look at it. I can literally see you're not even looking at the screen.
No.
Go on, get on a bit.
Bennett.
Who are they?
Alan Bennett and Dal Bennett.
Correct.
Yes.
You could have had
Brown.
David and Dylan Connolly.
Brown.
I know, because you're looking at Wikipedia, aren't you, now?
No, I'm not.
The whole thing's become a whitewash.
Jordan Brown and Seb Brown.
Seb Brown. You could have had David and Dylan Connolly. And if there's any more, let me know.
Yeah.
So that was my question.
That's our hope. You actually had to read out all the names.
If anyone else comes up with any more, please let me know.
I was getting loads of them, mate. What are you talking about?
No, you weren't. You were cheating. You're not even looking at us now.
It's like a blue screen on your face.
Blatantly on the screen.
Now, the missus is beyond. I've got another one.
I bet I've said it.
Just come to you, Lee.
Just come to you.
He was on loan last year.
Just come to you, is it?
He was on loan last year with us.
Okay,
And we had three of them in the end.
Three of them?
Yeah.
What, three of these players on loan?
Three of these players are the same name. Not first names.
All right, go on.
Johnson.
Are you stupid? We literally just said that. That just shows you how pathetic you are at listening. It's a joke.
I was too busy.
Daniel Johnson. You're all thinking
Brett
about
Johnson
it.
Brett Johnson and Hugh Johnson.
Shambles. Right, well, there we are then.
You know why? I was too busy cheating. I wasn't paying attention to what you
were saying. So, because you cheated, I'm gonna nominate Matthew the winner.
Lee, it was the worst cheating. It was just I've never seen such bad cheating in all my life. It wasn't even trying to hide it.
Either. There wasn't even any coughing, like it wasn't even an air on it. It was just you blatantly cheating.
I feel bad because you can tell that Danny's actually receiving because he's put all the effort into this quiz. And
I had
it's just
one free period the other day, and I did the whole of this. I trawled for half an hour.
You've been sitting on this for 2 weeks as well, haven't you?
I know. And it's finished now.
Matthew don't have a clue who AFC Wimbledon players are. You know what I mean? He ain't got a clue. He's doing the mosaic as well. That's a bit harsh,
Matt's
isn't it?
Matt's swearing at players he's never heard of or seen before.
Someone's going to go to him, we want to get that mosaic of Dennis Wise on the ball. Who's that? The Chelsea geezer?
Well, that's it. Last time I do a quiz on this show.
Who's that Chelsea legend who was down last week? Who went in there?
Barclays Bank, more like.
Oh. Right, Dan, that was absolutely... I won that one because I got so many of them
right.
Yeah,
of course you did, Lee.
Listen
was,
back.
You were amazing, yeah.
Listen back.
I will do. Don't you worry.
Right, anyway. That is us for tonight. Thanks, Danny, for the quiz. I look forward to the next one next week.
I'm not doing another one. Forget it.
Oh, don't be like that. It's good.
No, I'm sick of it. I can't. One thing I can't condone is cheating.
I didn't cheat.
You didn't cheat. No, you just didn't play properly. Yeah. Matthew there, bless him. At least he was pathetic and was trying without any help. You were pathetic and you had it in front of you.
I don't even know how you could tell. Anyway, right. Boys, thanks very much, Matt. Thanks very much for joining us.
Cheers, guys.
Hopefully we can get a good mosaic at Plough Lane. and we'll see you Saturday, Danny. You at game Saturday?
Don't try and soften me up with your flirting, Lee. You know it normally gets to me. I'll be there, fine. I'm talking to you.
I'm there Saturday, mate. Right. Thanks very much, boys. See you soon.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.